Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians. For the next few minutes, let me just share a couple of scriptures with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 21 of chapter 1. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has chosen the means to bring salvation to people. And that's the preaching. Right? The preaching of what? Of Christ. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of redemption through His blood. Praise God. It says right here in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, the wisdom of God is right. Notice it says this. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Well, what's the foolishness of God here in context? It's the preaching of Christ or the preaching of the cross. It's our wisdom. Verse 30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, it is so vital that what our heart is connected to and what we're opening our hearts to and opening our ears to and our eyes to is we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're setting our affection on things above, not just on things on the earth. We are soaring. We are in a position above. You know, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. And promises of God, even in the old covenant, which still apply to us who are in Christ, you're supposed to be above only, not beneath. You're the head, not the tail. You know, that's still a promise to us. It's a yea and amen. Because it says all the promises of God. God through Christ redeemed us from the curse, but He did not redeem us from the blessing. He redeemed us from the curse so that the blessing could come upon us. Hallelujah. And let me say this to you. The foolishness, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Let me tell you something. I want to say something to you this morning. On the basis of those scriptures I just read, you better be glad. You better be glad that God has chosen things that are not just mighty and noble. Because if it was based on that, probably everybody in the room here wouldn't qualify. Somebody says, yeah, I'd qualify. No, you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I'm talking about according to what God is saying here in this scripture. Now, I want to say this again. It didn't say not any are called that are mighty and noble. It didn't say not any. It says not many. And the reason that it's not any is because there are some who recognize that it's not their wisdom, it's not who they are, and they begin to humble themselves and recognize that not but for the grace of God and not for the love of the Father and not for His compassions and His mercies that are new every morning, then we would all be consumed. But I'm telling you right now, God delights. Notice things. Look at this. Here. Foolish things. Weak things. Base things. Things that are despised. Things which are not. Let me say something else to you here. You need to... We see here in just a minute, we have the mind of Christ. And He that is spiritual judges all things or discerns all things. Let me tell you something. You need to discern what If you were to look at the world, if you look at Hollywood, if you look at the news media, I'm just talking about all across, it doesn't matter. I'm just people of the world. What do they think is foolish? What's important to them? Well, what's important to them is foolishness to God. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't love them. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, we have to rightly know that what's important to us? What does God call foolish and what does God call not foolish or wisdom? What is important to a lot of people in this life? Where are they setting their affection, their attention on? I'm just saying, what do you see? See, these things here matter, what Paul is trying to say to the church. Okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
You know, these things are opposites.
They're opposites, Joan. There's only two. There's only two, guys. That's why the scripture talks about a double-minded man. You've heard me say this over and over, but it's so simple and so profound. There's only two. There's only two kingdoms. There's only two masters. Right? There's only two kinds of mindedness. There's a spiritual mindedness. There's a carnal mindedness. Okay? Anyway, God has chose these things. And he says this in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, when Paul said, I stood before you, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I mentioned this Wednesday night, I think. Paul was not afraid of people. You remember Agabus bound him and said, Paul, you cannot go to Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem, they will kill you. Afflictions await you there. You could lose your life. Was he scared? Did he make other plans? Did he cancel his flight? He's not afraid. The Lord had showed him how he must suffer for his name. He stood before Agrippa. He was not afraid. What was Paul afraid of? Paul was afraid because of his education and his ability that he could entice men and women with words and certain kind of preaching that would entice them and it would all be good, but it would never connect their faith to God's power. Okay, let's simplify this. What does connect us to God's power in our life? Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the preaching of the cross. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Remember this? Everything that you build upon your life, spiritually speaking, he's the chief cornerstone. That means you have to determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes. Now, there's other things, and I mentioned this, I think, Wednesday night as well, because we sort of talked along these lines a little bit. There's other things that the scriptures admonish us in, give us advice in, help us in. But when it comes to these areas here, Jesus has been made unto you wisdom, right? Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are major terms. That is something your heart has to be established in. And it's all upon Christ. It's the wisest thing you can do in this life. The wisest thing you can do when you're in any situation. And like Alan began to say, listen, the wisest thing you do is begin to speak But speak, and you're talking about what the Word of God says, but speak, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Paul said. You have to identify with the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He bore in His body. He Himself took our infirmities and our sickness and disease. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Hebrew for those words is surely He has borne our sickness and carried our pain. Why? So that we could receive and have the blessing of health and strength and comfort and ease, not dis-ease. But Paul said this, the spirit of faith believes and therefore speaks. For with the heart man believeth, once again, and with the mouth confession is made unto. But see, we have to let the Word of Christ dwell in us. And we have to be full of the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ does signify within us. We proclaim. We preach. We speak. Paul said, my speech and my preaching. Your speech is not just when you're teaching or preaching to somebody. It's when you're talking. Paul said, let your speech be seasoned with grace and with salt that you know how to answer every man. But the wisdom of God. See, it's foolishness to the world to believe that you mean to tell me when I feel weak that I'm to say I'm strong. See, that's foolishness to people. But to us who believe, listen to me, God said it's His power. Amen. It's the power of God. And just along with what Alan and we were talking about here, and being above, because everything will try to tell you you're not above. You're not a soaring above the clouds. But see, you got to see yourself in Him. You got to get your identity from Him. That's your wisdom. That's wisdom is, what do I do? It's not just knowledge. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But once you have knowledge of Jesus, then what? How do you apply that knowledge? Through wisdom. Hallelujah. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know why? You know why they wouldn't have crucified Him? Because Paul says, I've determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know why? Because that's your answer. That's your answer. What's your answer? Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I have redemption through His blood. Do you know redemption applies to every area of your life? Your prosperity, your health, your forgiveness, it's all. And it's through His blood. It's through His life. I mean, Listen, I've read of great testimonies. I think I've mentioned this before. Miss Lillian B. Yeoman. She was a medical doctor. And gave her life over to the healing ministry. Because she received healing herself. And yet, the testimonies that came from her books was when they could get people to acknowledge that they were redeemed from the curse. That Christ had redeemed them from the curse of whatever situation they were dealing with, the more they would acknowledge that. It's not that they got to a certain point that God said, okay, if you'll acknowledge it 500 times and at 501, I will go ahead and send it. No, it's because the more they acknowledge that, the more impact and influence that the words even had on their own soul and their own heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But see, what you think is really what you'll eventually believe. What you believe is what you will say. And what you say, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that which he revealed to others, his apostles, is what you'll have. Remember James said it? James said it like this. He said, if a man will not bridle his tongue, then his religion is in vain.
Let no corrupt communication come
out of your mouth. Let no corrupt.
The problem is, I think, Mother, we don't think about what corrupt communication is.
Yeah.
Anything contrary to the word of God is
yeah.
corrupt communication.
Yeah, and he said this. He said, that which is good and that which ministers grace. So what do we get good in grace from Jesus? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. So everything that we acknowledge that's going to be good and of grace and would minister that not only to ourselves but to others, it's going to be connected to Jesus, to the cross, to our redemption through his blood, how he gave himself. You remember Paul said this, another way he said it to the church at Galatians. He said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another way to say that is, what I think, what my focus is on, what my heart is in tune to, what I acknowledge, is how he gave himself for me. It was the exchanged. He said it like this, I've determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But see, you got to understand something. You were crucified with him.
Yes.
This is the wisdom of God. This is the power of God. Praise God. And Paul said, the thing that concerns me the most, as far as being fear and trembling, is I don't want to try to entice or say things that can sound good, but in reality, it does not affect the hearts of men and women where they can truly believe in the power of God. And then he said this, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Well, in the Colossians, he said, Christ in you, this mystery that's now been revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know that God gave his life to come live inside you again? Now, let me break this down, and I'm going to close with this because I'm going to open up something here, but we can't get through it. There's many benefits from God living in you. You remember Jesus said, it's expedient for me that I go? But I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send someone to you. Really, I'm coming back to you. Because he said at the end of John 17, I in them, in the person of the Holy Ghost. But we know that he said the person who's coming to live inside of you now, God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit, one of the things and one of his functions to you, there's many functions he will do, and there's, you know, we'll get into those later. It's like he helps us, gives us a prayer language. But one of the things he does is to come and to show you Jesus. Jesus said he will take the things that are of mine and he will show them unto you. God came in human flesh, gave his life so that we could receive the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham, I believe, is righteousness, because that is what was imputed to Abraham. Righteousness is a position now, spiritually speaking, that we're in. And that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost.
Galatians calls it the Spirit of his Son that
Christ Abba. That's right. And it's in us now. We've been begotten to this. And the Holy Ghost is always going to lead us there, speak to us of these things. Listen, God wanted to get back on the inside of us and be one with us, like I said earlier. But one of the functions and purposes of that is so he could always bear witness with you of who you are. You're a child. You've received the spirit of adoption. He leads you in your sonship. When at any time did he say to an angel, sit here at my right hand? But he did to his son. And then it goes on to say this, that his son tasted death so that he could bring many sons into this glory, into this goodness, into this good position and place. What? Above the storm. Seated far above all principality and power. It's not flesh and blood that we deal with, folks. Your fight's not flesh and blood. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Well, he's telling us earlier we need to say things like we're strong and I'm so happy and I'm so... Well, did Jesus die and give his life to put us in that position and place? Are we new creatures in Christ Jesus? Is the old passed away and the new has come to us? Absolutely. And now this ministry of the Spirit, this new covenant ministry, is God in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Not just to empower you and cause you to be able to sustain and go through what you're going through. But he's here to reveal to you Jesus. What do you mean? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm redeemed from the curse. Jesus bore my sickness and my disease and my pain. Jesus became poor to bring a supply to my life that I would always be supplied and I would never be poor. Amen. People despise the simplicity of this. But it's the power of God. It's foolishness. Can I finish chapter 2? I got just a couple of seconds left before 12. You know, I can go to chapter 3 next week. And we're skipping a bunch, so to speak. But I will say this. Well, I can't skip that. Because there's a ministry of the Spirit here that he talks about. When it talks about eye has not seen nor ear heard. Or has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. And he's prepared things for us. Now it ain't just, you can't just look at this stuff from the natural. And most people don't see it just on the surface. Because the Spirit searches all things. And we're talking about even the deeper things of God. We need to talk about that a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is here. Amen. Because he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And this natural man that is so prevalent in the world today, it does not understand the things of God. It's foolishness to him because it's spiritually discerned or understood. But I'm telling you right now, we have the mind of Christ. And he that is spiritual judges all things. You're not judging people. You don't judge people's hearts. But you judge things. You discern things. Matter of fact, if you're skillful in the word of righteousness, we talked about this Wednesday night. If you're skillful in the word of righteousness, you'll become to a place where you're able to exercise your own physical senses. When your five physical senses try to tell you things, and yet it's contrary to what Christ did for you, you'll be able to discern and exercise your senses to determine that's not God. I don't care what I see or hear or feel. Why? Because righteousness is not right living. It's a right standing. It's a place you're really in. And it's not based on do. It's not based on if. It's based on in. In him we live. Yes. What's now?
She got a telephone
from the devil. He's telling her. You got somebody call you?
Oh, yes. You know how they call you on the phone and tell you you got pain in the knee, you got pain in the ankle. I told him, no, you got the wrong number.
There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like that. Somebody called her and said she had pain in her knee. They tell you have.
I never had pain in my knee.
That's trying to tell you had the symptoms you had, what kind of symptoms you had in your body. They're trying to sell you stuff. Yeah, you told them they needed to call somebody else. Praise God. I like that. You know, it's that simple. You know what we submit ourselves to? We submit ourselves to God and we resist the devil and he flees. But Paul done talked about that the people that he wanted to experience this salvation in great detail, spirit, soul, and body, he said they didn't submit themselves to God nor his righteousness. Submitting yourself to God truly is submitting to his righteousness. Because see, he purposed before the world that we would be holy and without blame before him. See, he purposed in himself to put us in a position. This was according to the riches of his grace. To make in himself twain one new man. That's why I'm going to close with this. That's why Buzzy would always be so adamant. And if you ever knew him, listen, for example, I mean, he'd turn almost red. He'd see people, see a tag on their car that says, "God is my co-pilot." He said, "I want to ram them." I mean, he'd get flushed out. He said, "I want to ram them." God's not your co-pilot. God's sitting in the same seat you're sitting in. It's Christ in you. So he would just cause people get this mentality. He just felt like they really didn't understand the real position that Jesus came to give us. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. He's trying to proclaim this where the church would totally, totally. Because see, this sets your attention. No man can glory in this because it's what God has done for us through Christ. And that's your warfare. You bring every thought to the obedience of Jesus and what Jesus. Jesus tasted death. Jesus was obedient to death to bring you into this glory. Hebrews 2 says. Well, you've been brought. And you've been bought. Therefore, you're to glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. You're not even your own. And that's the problem with the world. They think that they're their own. That's foolishness. But the wisdom says, I'm not even my own. He paid for me. I've been bought with a price. My body glorifies God. My spirit glorifies God. I rejoice in God, my Savior, for he has done great things for me. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit does rejoice in God my Savior. He's looked upon me. He's looked upon you. He's looked upon us with great love and great mercy. You think he knew everything about our lives? You think he would foresee? Do you think he's been caught unaware where you are and what your needs are? If I went to the scripture here and give you really what Paul's trying to say, which would be wise for you, it's God's wisdom to you. The Spirit of God knows all things, yea, searches all things, even knows the deep things. And in context with that, because he knows our lives and knows where we are and knows what's ahead of us and knows what is needful for us, Jesus has been made to us our redemption and our wisdom. So that when we are confronted with any situation in our life, whether present or in the future, our heart and our determination is to magnify our redemption through his blood. That is basically what Alan was saying earlier. When you begin to say things, let the weak say I'm strong. Well, I can couple a scripture that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God. Put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. Be strong in the Lord. The power that he gives and the strength that he supplies is by His Spirit and by His might. It'll first affect your inner man. And from your spirit, it'll even quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. You know why? Because no matter what you deal with in life, you'll always get to a place, and if you hadn't, you'll find yourself there one day, when you truly recognize this, no matter what you've tried to do, everything you've tried to muster within yourself, there's something in you that says, it's not enough. That's what the law did. It was our schoolmaster to teach us. I can try to do everything I know to do, but it's not enough for me to be born again, to become a new creature. Likewise, as we've received Him, Paul said we must walk in that same revelation and understanding. You come to yourself sometimes and it's good to do and follow God in what you know to do and follow God. But even in that, our hearts has to totally trust, not in the wisdom that comes from men, even our own wisdom. Our hearts has to believe. He said, my speech and my preaching is trying to produce something in you that you won't still be connected. You're trying to operate from the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of men, even your own natural wisdom. But Christ has been made unto you wisdom. Your heart must begin to magnify Jesus. The reason you have the answer and the reason you're going to be where you want to be is because He gave Himself for you. And He took the exchange. And you acknowledge that. And that's enough. Having done all to stand there for. What do you mean? You've put on that armor. You've magnified. You're strong in the Lord. Not in your own self. And the devil will come to you and say, that ain't enough. That ain't enough. And you need to do like David did when he talked to his sweet wife. And tell that devil, you talk like a foolish spirit.
Yes.
It is enough. And you call his bluff. And you submit yourself to God and His righteousness, which is Christ has made unto you. He's your righteousness. And then when you submit to the righteousness, because Christ has been made, that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisest thing you can do when you're dealing with something. When we talk about the wisdom of God, it means I need some wisdom on what to do here. You submit to His righteousness, which is Christ been made unto you righteousness. And the devil will flee, because he's no match for that. Amen. Praise the Lord.